чесала, чесала, як би банк не знала, не знала, не знала, як би банк не знала, не знала, не знала. Мамка буде тебе, ти тебе, ти тебе, я ще буду ганьбити, 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 я ще буду ганьбити, ганьбити, ганьбити. Ой, паречку люблю, та люблю, та люблю, та заріж мені когуття, 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 заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття. Запіє, 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 старий горі Маріє, 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 старий горі Маріє, Маріє, Маріє. Ой, Марічко, чичері, 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 розчищери, кучері, 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 розчищери, кучері, кучері, кучері.
From Toronto, Ontario, that was Zirka and Oi Marichko. Добрий вечір, шановні радіослухачі, та вітаю вас всіх на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння, котра подається вам сьогодні ввечері, як звичайно, о 6 годині щосуботи на багатомовній радіостанції АМ-1320 у місті Ванкувері. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішила перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got a guest interview with the Minister of International Trade, Ed Fast, who will be telling us about his recent trip to Ukraine on a trade mission. As well, we've got news from Ukraine today, several news stories, the most current happenings there. So stay tuned for all of that as well. We've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Burdan, a very popular group, traditional folk group, and managed to find a Kolomeka online to share with you. Here they are now, Burdan and Kolomeka.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in Canada, which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Hi, I'm Vincent Reese from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
Повсать літать не можу,
and Ukrainian singer Serhiy Fayfura with «Dajte volyu nadiyi», referring, of course, to the imprisoned Ukrainian pilot Nadiya Savchenko. That's «Dajte volyu nadiyi» is Nadiya, of course, Savchenko. And if you're on Facebook and Twitter, make sure that you use the hashtag #FreeSavchenko as much as possible. And let's try and save the life of this wonderful Ukrainian patriot and brilliant pilot and military officer. Again, Serhiy Fayfura with «Dajte volyu nadiyi». And you're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver with your host, Pavlina. On Wednesday, I had the great pleasure and honor to speak with the Minister of International Trade, Ed Fast, on our Nanaimo edition. He told us all about his recent trade mission to Ukraine. Here is a recording of that interview. The Honorable Ed Fast, Minister of International Trade, has just returned from a trade and development mission to Ukraine. This is the Minister's second mission to Ukraine in less than 6 months, focusing on greater trade and improved social and economic conditions in Ukraine. On this most recent trip, he announced new initiatives to further support Ukraine, including free trade negotiations and over $50 million in development assistance. In addition, he met with three Ukrainian ministers and took part in a humanitarian aid event. His trip was especially timely in light of the recent attacks in the eastern part of the country. He joins us by phone now from Ottawa. Minister Fast, welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
It's good to be on your show, Paulette.
Now, this is a second trip to Ukraine, and just to clarify, there's no a trade agreement yet, correct?
That is correct. We are in the middle of negotiating a free trade agreement between Canada and Ukraine, and during my last visit just a couple of days ago, I had the chance to meet with Ukraine's Minister of Trade and Economy, Ivaris Abramovichus, and we had a very good discussion about the opportunities we have to eliminate trade barriers between our two countries and really help Ukraine redevelop its economy.
Now, I'd like to thank you for that, because Canada is a first in supporting Ukraine in many ways, the first to recognize their independence back in 1991. They recognized the Holodomor. They were the first to do that, recognize it as a genocide back in 2008. And now this ongoing trade negotiation. Now, and this is, again, Canada is, you know, one of the only countries, I would say, that is sees something and is not pretending that this war isn't going on and that there is aggression against Ukraine. What does Canada see that the others in the West don't as far as a trade partner?
Well, we have recognized that the Ukrainian people face enormous challenges on the security and economic front. But we've also concluded quite a while ago that we're confident the Ukrainian people can overcome these challenges. That's why we continue to be a steadfast and trusted partner of Ukraine. We believe that Canada can be a trusted economic partner to Ukraine by providing a new market for Ukrainian goods and services. That's why one of the reasons why I did visit Ukraine again, because Ukraine has a very special place in the hearts of Canadians. Obviously, we have a large Ukrainian diaspora within Canada. But Canadians are also fierce defenders of basic values of human rights and freedom, democracy, the rule of law. And we know that the new government of Ukraine has embraced those values, and we couldn't find a better partner.
What are some of the goods and services that you see going on trading between Canada and Ukraine? What are some of the areas?
Well, one of the areas that, of course, Ukraine is well known for in the services area is IT and providing technology to support e-commerce platforms. In fact, I was surprised to find out when I was in Ukraine that Canadian Tire actually is using a Ukrainian company to support its e-commerce platform, which has created 400 jobs. Canada and Ukraine also have a significant trade in things such as fish and seafood. When I was there, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, I announced another $52 million of development assistance. Mm-hmm. And what some of that is focused on is helping the small and medium-sized businesses in the dairy sector in Ukraine develop cooperatives that will help them in marketing their products, adding value. We're providing technical assistance to those farmers. We've also provided some funding to support Ukraine's grain industry. Ukraine is one of the world's largest grain producers, like Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, Canada has developed some world-leading technology in that area, especially when it comes to storage. And again, we're going to be providing technical assistance and support to allow those grain farmers to get better value for the products that they sell into the market and also to increase their harvest yields.
Hmm. And I'm sure that there will be many Canadians who welcome some of those goods and services as well.
Yes, and obviously Canadians have really embraced the challenges that face Ukraine. We've obviously already talked a little about the economic challenges. One of the areas where Canada also has expertise is in oil and gas. And in addition to meeting three of Ukraine's ministers, I also met with the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Agriculture. But we also had a chance to meet with Canadian businesses who are active in Ukraine. We met with Ukrainian businesses that have partnered with Canadian companies. And one of the sectors we talked about was oil and gas. Ukraine does have some reserves in both of those areas. And we have Ukrainian companies on the ground there actually exploring and producing gas. We've also raised some concerns with Finance Minister Jaresko, wanting to make sure that the government of Ukraine understand it's absolutely critical that Ukraine sends a very clear message that it is open to business, that it welcomes Canadian businesses, and that it will protect Canadian investment in Ukraine. And the response was very positive.
Do you think that these reserves will be able to completely eliminate dependence on Russian oil? That obviously has been a huge contention and probably the basis of this ongoing war.
You know, I'm not sure that Ukraine is necessarily in a position to become entirely energy independent. But what we also talked about is the opportunity for Ukraine to expand and diversify its energy sources. And of course, Canada is a great source of both oil and gas. And in the medium to long term, I believe there's a real opportunity for Ukraine to tap into that strength that Canada offers.
What were some of the humanitarian endeavors that you were involved in while you were there on this trip?
I'm glad you asked. And again, Canadians are involved in delivering some of this humanitarian aid. I met with Wes and Kim Jansen, who are Canadians from my neck of the woods on the West Coast. And Wes used to be the director of music at Trinity Western University. And he and his wife have now committed full-time to be in Kyiv, to be directors of the Kyiv Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. But what's most important to them is that their organization in Kyiv is actually focused on meeting the needs of orphans, the needs of widows. When I was there 2 days ago, they told me they had been in the hospitals visiting the soldiers and the victims of those that have been badly injured in the conflict and the aggression that Russian soldiers have imposed on Ukraine. They also told us about just the tragedies coming out of Mariupol. And so they have an opportunity in their own way as Canadians to invest in Ukraine, provide the compassionate support that we as Canadians are known for.
Excellent. And you said you met with three different ministers?
I did. The Minister of Finance, Natalie Jaresko, the Minister of Trade and Economy, Ivaris Abramovicius, and also the Minister of Agrarian Policy, Alexei Pavlenko. And we had great discussions with all of them.
Canada has been sending aid to the people fighting on the front. So they've been sending non-lethal aid. I don't know if you're the right minister to ask if there's any chance that there will be more things like anti-tank missiles and essentially maybe not lethal in the sense of aggression, but lethal in self-defense.
Well, right now our focus has been on non-lethal military support And as opportunities arise, I'm sure our government will continue to consider requests coming from the Ukrainian government. One of the things that I highlighted there as well was the fact that over 11,000 Canadian first aid kits have been delivered to Ukrainian soldiers. These are the same kits that Canadian soldiers carry into conflicts, and it allows them to save lives by providing them with special patches that can address very significant wounds, special tourniquets that soldiers can apply if there's extensive bleeding on a limb. And we were able to actually highlight those kits in a special event that we had in Kyiv. The other thing we've done is I just came out of question period in the House of Commons, and the Prime Minister just announced another $200 million of additional economic support for Ukraine. So again, another good news story that reflects that Canadians really take their relationship with Ukraine seriously.
Excellent. Well, thank you on behalf of a member of the Ukrainian community in Canada with very much Canadian, but with Ukrainian roots. Thank you so much. And, you know, please pass on all our thanks to the Prime Minister. Before I let you go, I want to ask you, though, where is your neck of the woods out here on the West Coast?
I'm actually from Abbotsford, British Columbia.
How are you?
Yes, and you know what? We come from a great part of Canada.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you, in my community, there is tremendous interest in the challenges that Ukraine faces right now, because many the members of my community are actually from a Mennonite background.
Right.
I am as well, and of course Mennonites have centuries-old roots in Ukraine, and so they have great concern for Ukraine and have contributed considerably to various organizations that are assisting within Ukraine to address these challenges. So I'm very proud of my community for taking that relationship so seriously.
And so you should be. And thank you again very much for joining us, Minister Fast, and our thanks to you and to the Government of Canada for supporting Ukraine at this terrible time of need.
You're so welcome. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Honourable Ed Fast, Minister of International Trade from Ottawa.
Condemnation, condemnation, doesn't change the situation. Putting Hitler off today, who knows his final destination? Now they all express concern. The situation is unstable, and they say we should return to the negotiation table. Ever heard the terms invasion, occupation, annexation? Indecision all resulting in complete capitulation. Then they'll all repeat their lies again to try to justify that for the greater good of all, a country's freedom was denied. There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for change, and those who find the reasons it's got to stay the same. There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for truth, and those who find the reasons there's nothing you can do. So which of them are you? As was many times before, we've got to see this to the end, to stand together yet alone, our nation's freedom to defend. They say the times have changed, but if we're talking of Ukraine, Stalin's, Hitler's, and now Putin's real intentions stay the same. Be sure of this, you leaders of the West, you'll have to see your cowardice in history recalled eternally. Your children and descendants will disown you and your names, ashamed that you betrayed a sovereign country called Ukraine. There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for change, and those who find the reasons it's got to stay the same. There's
There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for truth and those who find the reasons. There's nothing you can do. So which of them are you? Democracy dependent on dictatorship is here. The gas they sell you heats you, but you have to live in fear. So free yourselves from all the devil put in has to sell. Then hopefully he'll leave us be and crawl back into hell. There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for change and those who find the reasons it's got to stay the same. There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for truth and those who find the reasons. There's nothing you can do. So which of them are you? There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for change and those who find the reasons it's got to stay the same. There's two kinds of people that we've got in this world. There's those who fight for truth and those who find the reasons. There's nothing you can do. So which of them are you?
And from London, England, that was Ludwig and family, Stefan Pasichnik and his two lovely daughters, with an original composition of his released not very long ago called There's Two Kinds of People. Ви слухаєте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM1320 у місті Ванкувері. And you're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM1320 CHMB Vancouver. Up next is a toe tapper, so strap on those dancing boots. Here's Millennia from their CD Bratia and Ostefi's Odyssey.
We'll be right back.
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today. Another key East Ukrainian transport hub city has come under deadly Russian attack.
The battle for the key East Ukrainian transport hub city Debaltseve continues, with the remaining civilian population exposed to daily shelling from Russian-backed militants. Many civilian homes, courtyards and playgrounds have been hit in the devastation. There is almost nothing in the city. No water, no electricity, no heat. It's about 3 degrees above zero inside. The weather is not so cold yet, but we don't expect any improvements. The city's shops and pharmacies are long since closed, and drinking water is becoming increasingly scarce. Pharmacies don't work. My husband is paralyzed. I can't even buy medicine for him. I'm even afraid to go outside. One time I stepped out and was caught in the shelling. Debaltseve resident Mikola was on his way to the city center on crutches to receive some bread. I wanted to go to the executive committee building, but the shelling started again. A car bringing bread for Debaltseve residents is encircled by locals, highlighting the growing humanitarian catastrophe in the city. Residents are killed on a daily basis in the shelling, which is virtually continuous. Debaltseve is a major transport hub connecting Donetsk and Lugansk, the two capitals of the breakaway republics in East Ukraine. Many analysts believe that militants must take the city if they are to make their so-called republics economically viable. Ukrainian forces continue to control Debaltseve and are fighting to prevent becoming encircled by Russian-backed militant forces.
Russian authorities are prosecuting anti-war and pro-Ukrainian citizens in their country.
Although the Kremlin denies supplying fighters to the war in East Ukraine, a Russian national has been charged with treason for revealing their troops were preparing for the conflict. The family of defendant Svetlana Davidova are now at home fearing the worst. In April last year, Davidova picked up the phone and called Ukraine's Moscow embassy to provide them with information about a Russian armed forces base her home overlooked, reports Radio Free Europe. Her husband Anatoly said she had no intention of causing harm.
She possibly might have considered that by calling the Ukrainian embassy, and moreover, they say that Russia is not at war or something else. I know that she did not have any harmful intentions.
Anatoly said that 9 months later, on the 21st of January, the Russian FSB suddenly seized his 36-year-old wife without providing a reason and confiscated her computer and diary.
Among the people in black uniforms, a man in ordinary civilian clothing appeared who showed the ID card of an FSB investigator. They asked Sveta, "Are you Davidova? We are taking you right now." Police immediately grabbed her and led her away. And I said, "Wait, that's my wife. What's going on?"
Mother of seven, Davidova was on maternity leave at the time of her arrest. She now faces up to 20 years in jail.
The children are all suffering in their own way because mum has gone. Mum's not here. She's somewhere else, behind bars in prison. And they know also that father will do everything that he can to get mum back.
Despite mounting evidence of Russian involvement in Ukraine, including soldiers being captured, the Kremlin has remained defiant. A group of mothers of Russian soldiers have even been labeled enemy combatants by Moscow after protesting about their loved ones dying in the war.
In New York City, anti-war activists protest performances of Putin supporters touring America.
A protester climbed onto the stage of New York's Metropolitan Opera on Thursday after a concert by Russians Anna Netrebko and Valery Gergiev, both vocal supporters of Russia's intervention in Ukraine. Anti-war activist Roman Togovitsky unfurled the sign as the cast bowed to the audience following a performance of the Tchaikovsky opera Iolanta. The blue and yellow poster featured a picture likening Vladimir Putin to Hitler and the words "Free Savchenko," referring to the Ukrainian pilot captured by militants in Ukraine and sent to Russia last year. Prominent Ukrainian musician Pavel Gintov was also involved in the protests this week outside the prestigious New York venue. He claimed that the Russian musicians had mocked their protest and abused participants. On Facebook, he said one orchestra member shouted, "Alaska will be ours, and when will you finally die?" When questioned about if they knew how many people had died in Ukraine, another musician said, "In Africa, thousands of people die every day. So what?"
Russian opera singer Netrebko caused uproar last December for publicly backing Oleg Sarov, a leader of Russian-backed militants in East Ukraine. The soprano star posed with the flag associated with the insurgency and pledged to donate 1 million Russian rubles to the Donetsk Opera House during the press conference. During the same briefing, Sarov thanked Netrebko for the support. This support is very important to us, not so much the money, but the support itself. The support of all Russians is very important to us in Novorossiya. Netrebko, who holds Russian and Austrian citizenship, attempted to play down her support for militants following the incident by saying she did not want to be involved in politics. Austrian Airlines then announced they had no plans to extend an expired advertising deal with the opera star. Her actions were also described by the Austrian Foreign Ministry as problematic.
Lithuania's foreign minister says Russia is responsible for the Mariupol attack.
Lithuania's foreign minister has been talking tough during a visit to Kyiv on Wednesday. Following his appearance at an event on NATO and Ukraine, Linas Linkevicius told Ukraine Today that Russia was at war with Ukraine.
This is state war against state. So how it could be considered as Russia war against Ukraine? Or you can look from your side, it's Ukrainian war for independence.
The top Lithuanian diplomat added that Russia should be held responsible for the terror attack in Mariupol last Saturday, which killed at least 31 people.
Yes, Russia should be held responsible, even if we'll assume that Russia is not controlling all these groups. Maybe we can assume that, but maybe it's the case.
When pressed on whether the international community should provide lethal military help to Ukraine, he did not rule it out.
So I'm not talking about only lethal, as you said. I already mentioned, I will not repeat. Military assistance is needed, and I will not elaborate on that. It depends on any country, because it's our indecision. It also has to do with the capabilities, with the legal basis. You know, a lot of nuances, because it's really not so easy. But I believe this shouldn't be excluded.
Linkevich's presence at the event in Kyiv added weight to high-level talks about Ukraine's NATO membership. The event was hosted by Lithuania's embassy and also involved various NATO officials, diplomats, and politicians, including Ukraine's foreign minister, Pavlo Klimkin.
Poland continues its support of Ukraine's path to Europe.
Poland's defense minister says there are no obstacles to arming Ukraine in the country's ongoing war with Russian-backed militants. Tomasz Simoniak made the remarks during a military conference, reports Radio Poland. The Polish lawmaker, however, said there are fewer and fewer prospects for a peaceful solution because Russia's unconcealed aim is to block Ukraine's path to Europe. Poland has been one of Ukraine's biggest allies during the ongoing conflict and has backed a strong international response to Russian aggression.
A Ukrainian makes a name for herself and her country at the Miss Universe beauty pageant.
She is one of the most beautiful girls in the world. And following her rousing speech in support of Ukrainian troops at this year's Miss Universe 2014 international beauty pageant, Diana Harkushka has returned home. The 19-year-old came in third place in the international contest held in Miami and will now return to her normal life as a student practicing law in the eastern Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. On arrival in Ukraine, Harkushka had a message for the soldiers fighting Russian-backed militants in the country's eastern regions.
We know you are the best, you are strong defenders, and what you do, I do not think anyone in another country can do the same as you do. We are very grateful. I talked to many other Miss Universe contestants from other countries, and they send you greetings and say they support you.
Harkushka also admitted that while she was away, she missed her grandmother's borscht soup and garlic pastries. The Miss Universe 2014 competition was won by Colombian Paulina Vega.
Ukraine's President Poroshenko labels Russia an aggressor state and issues a warning to Europe.
Following commemorations to mark the 70th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazis' Auschwitz concentration camp on Tuesday, Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko warned that the prospect of a continental war in Europe is greater now than ever before. The remarks come amid an upsurge in recent days of fighting in East Ukraine between Ukrainian forces and Russian-backed militants. I call on the entire world to prevent the recurrence of tragic events. We must not only remember the innocent victims of the past, but also think about how to prevent the recurrence of the tragedies similar to the Holocaust and World War II. We must jointly oppose the new imperial madness, new claims for supremacy in Europe. We are grateful to the world for its support, but to stop the aggressor, we need greater efforts. We need more solidarity. Poroshenko's words came after Ukraine's parliament approved a statement defining Russia as an aggressor state, something which deputies said could pave the way for further action against Moscow under international law. Russian President Putin did not attend the Auschwitz commemorations.
Ukraine's High Commercial Court returns another Yanukovych property to the state.
Ukraine's High Commercial Court has returned property which belonged to ousted President Viktor Yanukovych to the state. The Sukholucha property was used by Yanukovych for hunting. The former president's lavish estate, Mezhikhirye, located in the Kyiv region, is being used to house refugees. Activists also plan to build houses for children from the war-torn Donbas region and to provide accommodation for wounded Ukrainian soldiers at the 140-hectare complex. The former private residence of Yanukovych became famous after activists turned it into a museum of corruption following the Euromaidan protest movement last year. Petro, a Ukrainian activist, shows tourists the luxury apartments on the estate's ground. Yanukovych's workers at the estate used to live in this house. Now, people who fled the Crimean Peninsula and eastern Ukraine have found refuge here. One family from Luhansk has been living here since July. We came to Maidan in Kyiv and were sent here. This activist, Denis, brought boilers using money received from tourists. Children refugees now live in this house. Denis plans to build 20 more. If we had more buildings, we could accommodate more refugees in Mezhikhirye. The territory is safe. We have clean water here. Activists say they can also accommodate wounded soldiers from eastern Ukraine. The complex still doesn't have official status and technically still operates illegally.
Russia's security service arrests and raids the home of another prominent Crimean Tatar.
Russia's security service has raided the home of Akhtem Chigoz, the deputy chairman of the Crimean Tatar Mejlis, who was arrested earlier this week. Armed servicemen burst into his home early in the morning and ousted everyone except his wife. She said police also refused to say what they were looking for. It's complete mayhem, a complete violation of human rights. He's charged with a crime he didn't commit, and it's clear that politics is involved in this case. The Russian authorities detained Chigoz on suspicion of organizing mass disorder in Crimean capital Simferopol on the 26th of February, 2014. The article allows for 10 years imprisonment. I want to note that two people suffered as a result of this crime. Other consequences may be uncovered during further investigation. A group of Crimean Tatars and Mejlis members gathered near Chigoz's house as the security services conducted the raid.
A Russian terrorist leader organizes a summit of unrecognized states.
A leader of the so-called Donetsk People's Republic says he hopes to host a summit of unrecognized states, and he hopes to see representatives from Texas attend. Alexander Kaufman, who serves as foreign minister for the militant group, said during an interview with insurgent-controlled Oplot TV that he has been in contact with representatives from the Basque region of Spain, the Flanders region of Belgium, and the U.S. state of Texas about creating a league of new states. The Lone Star State is host to several minor separatist groups, although attempts at secession have not seen widespread support, with a 2012 survey finding that about 75% of Texans would vote against independence. The Donetsk People's Republic has not been recognized by any government, except the breakaway South Ossetia region of Georgia, which, like the militant-controlled areas of Ukraine, is also backed by Russia.
And finally, Ukraine Today correspondent Sam Kearley asks Ukrainians in Kyiv if they are surprised by the surge in Ukrainian patriotism in predominantly Russian-speaking cities in eastern Ukraine.
The Kremlin has sought to justify Russia's intervention in Ukraine as a bid to defend the rights of the country's allegedly oppressed Russian-speaking population. However, over the past year of conflict, many predominantly Russian-speaking cities, including Dnipropetrovsk, Kharkiv, and Odessa, have experienced a surge in Ukrainian patriotism. Has this patriotic reaction surprised residents of Ukraine's capital city, Kyiv?
In my opinion, no, because I have a boyfriend who is whose relatives live in Donetsk and Dnipropetrovsk, and they've been patriotic before. It's just that the situation didn't force them to show their patriotism. So they've actually been patriotic before. All the people who live in Dnipropetrovsk, but now is just the time to show your patriotism, so it doesn't really surprise me.
No, I'm not surprised, because of the fact that all Ukrainians are in the same boat, and all what happens there in Kyiv also happens in the last territory of Ukraine.
You know, I'm not surprised, but I'm very good impressed, because I think it is very good, and when I was in such towns and cities, I was pleased with the citizens of that towns, and they invited me, and I was very good. I spent very good time there, you know, so I like it.
Absolutely not, just because, to my knowledge, so, actually they were very, very patriotic and very Ukrainian at the beginning of the century. And then, when the communists came there, they decided to kill everything Ukrainian over there, and they were very successful doing that. And I was actually surprised, but as we say in Ukraine, it was a good surprise to me that in such cities, people became more patriotic, and they decided to take the pro-Ukrainian side in the events that happened in our country. So I'm absolutely not surprised, and if I am, then it's a very good surprise to me and to the whole country.
No, I wasn't surprised. As for me, I was born in Dnipropetrovsk, and sometimes I'm visiting this city, and I think that the people understand that they are living in Ukraine, and if we now have the question, do we want to live in Ukraine as well for a long time, they say yes, because for the last 50 years it was Ukraine.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv.
Стрілку файка і з тризубом шапка ватралісова. Даруй, Боже, моїй Україні вільні права. Даруй, Боже, моїй Україні вільні права. Скоро стрілку файка і з тризубом шапка і нічна зоря, побратима мого зачепила, куля вражая, побратима мого зачепила, куля вражая, він лежить на листі пізньою весною, і нічна зоря. Його поховаю рядом з Яною в Атрадоря. Його поховаю рядом з Яною в Атрадоря. Thank you.
всім узяти, у шерему стати, скаже, що то ви. І підемо волю здобувати Україні мої. І підемо волю здобувати Україні мої. Нічка темна і ліс темний на шляху чута, і ніхто не знає, що тут спочиває партизан УПА. І ніхто не знає, що тут спочиває партизан УПА. Скоро стріну Вайка і стризубом шапка Ладра лісова. Побратима мого зачепила куля вражая. Побратима мого зачепила куля вражая.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial, and streaming online at chly.ca. Next Friday, February 6th, enjoy a pierogi supper at the Holy Trinity Ukrainian Orthodox Auditorium, 154 East 10th Avenue in Vancouver, from 5 till 8 p.m. For details, call Holy Trinity Ukrainian Orthodox Parish at 604-274-8030 or visit uocvancouver.com. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com.
And from Edmonton, Alberta, that was the Cubasonics with the Arcan from their first CD, Miaso. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Бідний бідному співчуває, але біда біду доганяє. And our proverb of the week translates as the poor pity each other, but misfortunes follow one another. Well, that just about wraps it up for Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, once again here on AM 1320 CHMB. So to take things home, we've got the By Request Band from Steinbach, Manitoba, and the Kerosene Polka. I'm Pavlina, on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos in AM 1320. Thanks for listening, and Dobranich!